In Florida, we have a place for you. Not only do we understand your aspirations, we're ready for them. For all the amazing things your future holds, we hold the key. Florida, the future is here.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. A handful of startups hope to borrow a page from Airbnb, the home sharing service. The Wall Street Journal says the startups are betting they can help apartment building owners convert empty units into hotel rooms. These are short-term rentals that could help landlords generate more revenue. Services like Airbnb have met with fierce resistance from local governments and residents, worried that big residential buildings could turn into hotel-like properties. But these startups believe they can get around these pitfalls. Joining us is Wall Street Journal housing reporter Laura Cosisto. Laura, again, these are temporary arrangements until the landlords can find full-time tenants. Is that correct?
So in one case, yes. So one of the least controversial but really interesting examples is a startup that when a landlord is leasing up the building, it usually takes about 6 to 12 months to lease up the building, and you're not really generating any revenue during that time. So their idea is that they've solved that problem by saying, well, why don't you take some of these units and set them aside and make them hotel rooms, and then as you start to fill up the building, you can go back to being a regular apartment building. In other cases, though, they're looking at permanently turning apartment units into hotel rooms, and that's likely to be even more controversial.
Yeah. Who are some of the new startups, and how do they operate their business?
Sure. So it seemed, you know, this was something I've been keeping my eye on for a while, and then all of a sudden, you know, there's something like half a dozen startups that popped up all at once. And I think it was sort of in the ether, because you saw Airbnb trying to crack this market. There are 29 million apartment units, but most of them, people's leases don't allow them to do short-term rentals. So it's a big untapped market. So you saw a few of these start to pop up. One of them, the one we just talked about, is Y Hotel, which is based in Arlington, Virginia, and they do these pop-up hotels. Another one is called U-Rent, and they lease entire blocks of apartment buildings and then turn them into hotels. And then another one is called Pillow, and what they do is they actually work with landlords.
Right, and they also work with Airbnb, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. So that one is more sort of complementary to Airbnb. So what that helps do is one of the challenges Airbnb has had is apartment landlords say, well, this just is a huge hassle for us. We have people coming in and out of our building. We don't know who they are. We don't have any kind of way to kind of regulate it or enforce it. And so this basically says, well, you can offer this as an amenity. We'll give you access to information about who the guests are, how many guests are staying with you at any given time. And then your residents get this advantage of having cleaning services and booking services. So it's sort of offered as a kind of amenity for tenants.
And these services could fill a need for landlords, especially since the housing market is starting to cool.
Yeah, so a lot of what these places are targeting are these luxury high-end apartment buildings, and we're seeing an oversupply of those. We're seeing historic levels of new luxury apartment construction. We're seeing buildings taking longer and longer to lease up. And on the flip side, this is also a really good sort of untapped market, because business travelers, in a lot of cases, they want a kind of cleaner, more professionally managed environment. They don't want to be staying in someone's, you know, grungy studio apartment. So these types of buildings are a really great untapped market for short-term rentals.
I'm speaking with Laura Cosisto of the Wall Street Journal, and you're listening to Your Money Matters.
We know you well. You who became a multimillionaire at 43, and you who was born one. We know you who loses sleep over how your kids will deal with inheriting a fortune. And you no longer getting a paycheck, but not needing one either. And also you, who doesn't have to work, but can't help not to. You serial entrepreneur, you. At BNY Mellon Wealth Management, we know because we know you well. And that gives us the necessary insight to help you grow, protect, and transfer your wealth. BNY Mellon is the corporate brand of the Bank of New York Mellon Corporation and its subsidiaries.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Laura, how much would prices be in such a setup? Give some examples.
Sure. So this is one of the appeals for landlords, right, is that you can generally generate a lot more revenue by renting something on a nightly basis than you can by renting something on an annual basis. So in some cases, these startups say that they're able to rent these blocks of units from landlords for 20% more than an individual tenant would pay. Plus, you have this sort of stability that they'll rent a big block of units. But that's, of course, one of the things that's concerning to communities is, well, if is the possibility that tourists start to crowd out local residents, that tourists can pay more to stay on a nightly basis, and that drives up housing costs.
But landlords would love it. For instance, you write that Y Hotel, they did a pilot project, I guess, in a building that was owned by Vornado near Washington. And, you know, the prices ranged from $179 to $329 a night. That's just money for landlords.
Yeah. And in that case, those are units that wouldn't be generating any revenue at all. So it's basically all gravy. So, I mean, I think they have probably a really easy pitch to landlords.
What does the future look like? Are the startups and whichever landlords cooperate, are they likely to meet this resistance that you've written about from other parties?
Yeah, so I would not understate the challenge that they face. This is very contentious in a lot of major cities. New York City has essentially banned Airbnb. Yeah. San Francisco has cracked down on it. There's a big fear in these cities that have overall a lack of affordable housing. This is going to make housing even less affordable for people. There are also concerns about from existing residents about, well, what does it mean if I'm trying to go to work the next morning and someone's staying beside me and they're on spring break? And I think the third real concern is one about liability. A lot of landlords just don't feel that the coverage that Airbnb offers, which is something like $1 million, is going to be enough. And so I think those are three huge obstacles, and I haven't seen any startup that's totally solved that puzzle yet.
So could it work in areas other than major cities, or are major cities really the prime target for this? And, you know, if it doesn't work there, there's no point.
So I think the challenge is that a lot of what these startups are doing is they're essentially setting up mini hotels. Yeah. Some of them have front desks. They have maid services. So you need those economies of scale. One Y Hotel said they really need a building that has 200 or more units. You're not going to find a lot of those in the middle of nowhere.
No, you're not. Wall Street Journal reporter Laura Cosisto, thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much.
And that's Your Money Matters. I'm Charlie Turner at the Wall Street Journal.
For a new podcast experience, subscribe to the Future of Everything podcast from the Wall Street Journal. Now on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play Music. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.